Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
That's why I'm not hearing anything because I don't have my headphones on.
Yeah, is that what it is? Your inner Marx is just like exploding. He's just like, seize the cookies. Seize the cookies of consumption.
No, because the Girl Scouts aren't the means of production. If the Girl Scouts themselves were the means of production, maybe then we'd have an issue. No, it's the Girl Scout. The problem is that like with all things, sorry about that. It's a group project, right? So just imagine having to do a high school group project with a bunch of adults. Okay? Like, imagine, like, and you're not, like, get to pick your group. It's just random people. I don't know what that was.
You know what that was.
You have a bunch of grown-ass adults who have to get together and, like, pick up these cookies. You know that there's like eight people who are just like the most useless human beings on the planet, and the only thing they manage to do is have a child, which is the easiest thing in the world to literally do on this planet.
I mean, most people do it really, really accidentally.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you don't even have to try to have a child. And now they're going to be responsible for picking up cookies, which is slightly more responsible than having a child.
Yeah.
Or not having a child, or maybe living a child, but just having the child. Right. So it's like my wife is frazzled. She's like got no sleep last night because she got this. I'm like, I got to get out of this fucking house. So I was like, all right, honey, is it all right if I leave at 4:30? She's like, get the fuck out. I'm like, okay.
And you just downed your fourth sleeve of Samoas.
I love Samoas.
Everyone loves Samoas. They're the best Girl Scout cookie.
They're definitely in the top five.
There's no way that they're not the best. Come on. Like, maybe there's like a weird limited edition one.
I like the peanut butter one with the
Tagalong.
Tagalong.
They're not as good.
Samoas are good. The problem with Samoas, and the only is that recently, since I've had a daughter that's in Girl Scouts, Samoas I find are very, very hard nowadays. I never remember them being hard.
No, they were always very soft and chewy.
I usually remember that, but when was the last time you had a Samoa?
Oh, it was a long time.
See what I'm saying? Like, nowadays, I think that they're just like kind
of. Their standing might have dropped since I last had them.
There you go.
I don't want to vouch for a cookie I haven't had recently, but when I was one to consume Girl Scout cookies, I can confirm that Samoas were indeed the best. And if they are no longer the best, I pity the world.
The best around.
Nothing's going to ever Samoa you down.
I think that the Stand By the Thin Mint is still a classic.
The Thin Mint's good.
Yeah.
This is not as good as Samoa.
The nice thing about Thin Mints is that you always had the nice sleeve of the Thin Mints.
Thin Mints are really...
Samoas, you get like 12 cookies in the box.
My favorite thing about Thin Mints is that they make the ultimate add-in for chocolate chip ice cream milkshake.
You could do anything
mint
with them.
Chip ice cream milkshake.
You just throw a couple inside some hot chocolate. It's delicious.
Is that what they call them? I don't know. There's a chocolate chip mint ice cream milkshake, and it usually has cookies in them, but they usually just put Oreos in them. But the real tech is to do it with thin mints.
Ah, there you go. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. But yeah, we do. Las Vegas Open news. Got a lot to talk about there.
All right.
But I don't want to talk about that right now. What I want to talk about is Bigfoot.
The Squatch.
We're going to talk about the Squatch for the first 20 minutes of this damn podcast.
I believe in the Squatch.
What I want to know is, do Squatches, is there millennial Sasquatches? That's what I want to know. Like, is there a difference between...
A 21-year-old Sasquatch right now?
Yeah. Is there a difference between millennial Sasquatches and baby boomer Sasquatches? That's what I want to know. Do millennial Sasquatches eat ass? That's what I want to know, Steve.
Well, okay. So this, I guess I can make this pretty short and pretty cut and dry. So one, if there is the same type of generational gap for Sasquatches, yes, 100% millennial Sasquatches eat ass. That's one. But number two is, what's the Squatch lifespan? Are we under the assumption that the Squatch lifespan is exactly the same as a human? So then, yes, there might be boomer Sasquatches, which means that
Sasquatch will live on forever in our hearts.
Which means that the boomer Squatch got their trees for next to nothing, and they all had great employment, and then they complain when the younger Squatches are eating ass, and they're like, hey, my regular job can't pay for literally anything.
I can't pay for this tree.
And they're like, what are you talking about? My one job was enough for college, a tree, and fucking 17 other Squatch kids. And if, you know, and they don't understand that the world changes.
That's
the case for sure.
No, I got a class that I gotta come up with a proposal for Long story short, I have a 1/4 class I have to teach, so 10 weeks.
Okay.
And I have absolutely no. My boss says I could teach it on anything I want to teach.
So you're going to choose cryptids.
I was thinking about doing cryptids, and that was one of them. Or I was going to do UFOs.
I mean, cryptids are pretty sweet because you can do like the real like the. A little more esoteric ones, like that lightning centipede from
the Mongolian death worm.
Yeah, the Mongolian death worm. Yeah.
One of the most metal of all cryptids.
Yeah, that's fucking cool as shit. It's a giant fucking centipede that shoots electricity.
Well, I was kind of thinking because I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I know a lot about a lot of things, but not enough to teach 40-hour class.
You can even talk about the addition of cryptids in Fallout 76.
Well,
because the Mothman's in there.
Well, I was because one of the things where I was thinking cryptids is because I finally started reading the Mothman prophecies. You ever read the Mothman prophecies?
No, I saw like half the movie and I didn't like it.
it's a terrible movie. But so I was like, I've always wanted to read the Mothman prophecies because I've always heard that it's like it's fantastic read if you're into like this UFO. It's very UFO heavy. It's not very cryptid heavy.
Okay,
and it's John Keel.
How the fuck so you can get that? See, that's blatant false advertising. You're gonna release a goddamn thing called the Mothman prophecies about UFOs.
Well, the Mothman is an alien is basically what.
So
the whole basis is John Keel is this guy who's supposedly like a real a real reporter of the esoteric, right?
Okay.
He's like he takes it very seriously, and I'm like, okay, so
it's already comedic.
So the book starts off and it talks about how in West Virginia. That one rainy night, this guy, this guy who's wearing a typical man in black shows up at this person's house asking to use the phone, and the person's all scared about it. And then, literally 3 weeks later, these people who were visited by this man in black died in a bridge collapse. And then it turns out the author in the second chapter goes, yeah, it turns out that was me. I had just had my car ran out of gas. I got stuck. I went over to this people's house. I was in a nice suit because I was doing this sort of thing. And that's how this kind of falls into place. I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to start off. It's going to be a real, like, take on it. The third chapter. UFOs are tulpas created by people's memory. I'm like, all right, this is where we're going. I'm going to buckle my seat. We're going in for a ride. This is going to be fucking insane. But yeah, basically it's that in the 1960s, there was a bunch of UFO sightings over West Virginia. And there was also, at the same time, this Mothman, who, if you looked into his eyes, he would give you conjunctivitis, which is, pink eye. It's a type of...
Wait, really? Is that actually part of the Mothman myth?
I am not
joking.
He gives you pink eye. But not the poopy pink eye. He doesn't put the poopy on your eyes. I find this just as ridiculous as you. It's a type of pink eye that where you get it if you look at the sun. It's the same thing as like if you get a like when people
like when you stare at the eclipse when you're like, being told by every one of your presidential aides not to.
Yes. You get pink eye for staring into the sun. It's the same kind of thing as you get for looking at the Mothman in the eyes. You get the conjunctivitis. I don't. It's a special type of conjunctivitis. So that's what happens, Steve.
Moth-divitis.
You get the Mothman. The Mothman will give you the pink eye. I have not finished the book. I'm only about maybe a quarter of the way through it, so I can't give you too much more what happens. But eventually, what happens is that the bridge.
Where does Richard Gere come into play?
I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't seen the movie since like 1999, whenever that movie came out.
There's one scene in that movie that actually is really good. It's really well done. And I didn't even know about it because just recently I saw someone put it on Twitter. But they said like one of the best things in Mothman Prophecies is this scene. And I was like, wow, that's actually really cool. There's a part where Richard Gere is doing like he's cleaning himself and like doing like shaving and stuff in the mirror. And his reflection is just so like subtly out of sequence with him. Like his reflection is going faster than he is, which I thought I was like, that's actually kind of cool.
I'll have to watch that again.
Yeah, like that one scene. They were like, this scene is really well done, and I was like, I can't disagree with that. That's something that I guarantee. Like 95% of people missed.
Oh, and here's another thing, because the book is very heavy in the men in black, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't call them the men in black in the book, but it's all about the men in black, not the Will Smith men in black.
Or now it's Thor, man. Thor in black.
Yeah, Thor in black. This is all about like these the crazy men in black. And so far from what I'm seeing is that I don't want to say David Lynch stole a lot from the Mothman Prophecies, but a lot of the men in black lore David Lynch stole for Twin Peaks.
Mm.
Like there's a lot of weird Black Lodge shit that's going on in this, and it's like Aleister Crowley shit. And I'm like,
well, yeah, but I mean that he probably didn't take it from that book. That's probably just the normal. That's probably already consensus conspiracy then.
What I can tell about Twin Peaks.
God, I can't believe I just used the term consensus conspiracy.
Consensus. From what I could tell about this whole thing that I've been going through is that David Lynch, Twin Peaks is just an exploration of black magic. Like Aleister Crowley, black magic, men in black shit, Black Lodge.
And aliens, right?
Yeah, aliens. It's all just fucking
and owls
interconnected.
Human faces.
The owls. Do not trust the owls. The owls lie. Isn't that the line? The owls lie.
I don't think so.
Or something like that.
I believe the line is "Watch the owls." But then there's someone who said they have a nightmare of an owl. Owls with human faces.
Yeah. I think the line is like the owls lie or something. I don't remember. It's weird. But yeah. So I mean, I'm getting
great soundtrack.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, fantastic opening sequence. That's one of the best opening sequences that's ever been done, ever. And it's just so, like, it's just scenery and, like, a weird kind of, like, synthy sound.
Angelo Badalamenti.
Just good. Yeah. Just good.
It's an interesting soundtrack, to say the least. But, yeah, that's been my... So I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to teach for 40 hours. I'm thinking I might do cryptids.
You know what? I fully support it.
Yeah, well,
as long as you make sure you do the Mongolian death worm.
Well, what I'm thinking about doing is like couching it in like, okay, because it's the last quarter of the year. These kids are going to be tuned out by like week 7. So I literally have about 7 or 8 weeks to teach this course. And after that, we're going to be watching movies because that's what happens at the end of a school year. You know that. Everyone knows that.
That was the best part about school.
Yeah. So, I mean, like if you had you got 40 hours to teach about or not 40 hours. Yeah. 40 hours. If you had 40 hours to teach whatever the hell you wanted to teach, what would you teach?
Like me, actually, personally?
Yeah, if you were a teacher.
Probably Lord of the Rings.
For 40 hours, you could teach Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Middle Earth. You could easily do 40 hours of Middle Earth. Not literally just Lord of the Rings.
Well,
but
I know you could do 40 hours on Middle Earth, but the thing is like, you got to prep 40 hours on Middle Earth. It would be a massive task.
Yeah, it's a huge project. Yeah. I'm not saying it would be easy. Yeah. I'm just saying if someone said you have to teach a class on anything you want for this many hours, that's probably what I would do.
You would teach that.
I would probably teach Middle Earth. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a field that I'm super well versed in, but I mean, be good. Or I could do, I don't know, I guess I could do Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, like, just we'll just play Dungeons and Dragons for 40 hours.
Well, you have a class of about 30 kids, so you have to run a class.
Well, then they'll, you know what? There'll be a lot of groups of four with one GM kid.
There you go. Yeah, that might work, but it would also end up horrible. Yeah,
I would probably go with Middle Earth, especially because I could do the movies too.
You don't want to just do. Yeah, that's true. You can throw out the movies. You don't want to do like an anime course, like a 40-hour like dragon, like the history of Dragon Ball Z.
No, anime is not that complicated. Like the origins of animation are pretty interesting, but it's really not that complicated. No. Other than that, like the origins.
But
you don't want
to deep dive into the lore of Dragon Ball Z.
No.
No.
The lore of Dragon Ball Z is dudes are yelling at each other and then fighting.
Yeah!
that's the lore. Dragon Ball Z is literally a children's show. I know it's really popular and like it's not bad. Like, but it's 100%. It is a kids show. Like, it's in Shonen Jump, which is a children's fucking manga series. Like, it's for kids. Like, that's the weeaboo like anime nerds always get super mad when you say cartoons are for kids, but like literally many very popular animes are kids shows. Like in Japan, like Naruto, like Dragon Ball, that's their Saturday morning cartoons. That's like real, and you can absolutely like it. I love the real Ghostbusters. Doesn't make it not a kids cartoon. Mm-hmm. Now there's plenty of anime that absolutely 100% is not for children at all. Thematically or, you know, content-wise, but...
Maybe I should just show the kids Akira.
That'd be pretty cool.
Akira!
Akira's pretty cool. Akira does... There is something lost in translation, though, for Akira. Like, the...
Well, you miss, like, 6 whole volumes of the manga.
Yeah, it's a lot of story that's, like, not in there.
Yeah.
But it is a massive achievement.
Well, the only thing that it makes... that Akira is famous for is it's one of the first ones that really came over to America and, like...
Animation was ridiculously good.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it's like Americans. That was like the first real anime that most Americans ever.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That was back when we called it Japanimation.
Because it was that. Then there was Laputa, and then
Ghost in the Shell.
Well, Ghost in the Shell was the '90s. That was later.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's
Ghost in the Shell was huge. That was that was the last, actually Ghost in the Shell outside of Ghibli movies. Ghost in the Shell is the last anime I can think of that had a nationwide theatrical release.
If I can think of like the movie, like. So my video store growing up, and this is on the south side of Chicago, so not a ton of anime. They did have a small anime section, and they had the ones I can remember that they had the Guyver movies.
Guyver. Bio booster armor Guyver.
They had, and I've seen all these. Wicked City.
I love Guyver. Oh, Wicked City's also great. The fucking spider vagina.
Spider vagina.
That I, like, I've never been more attracted to an anime character in my life. Like, yeah, but you could bite off your dicks. It's like, it's worth the risk.
Ghost in the Shell was one, and then Akira.
Yep.
And then they had Nausicaä, Valley of the Wind was there.
Good stuff.
And there was one more. I just can't remember what the...
Probably Vampire Hunter D?
Vampire Hunter D was there, yeah. Yes.
Vampire Hunter D's great.
Lensman. Lensman was also there.
Oh, Lensman's also really good.
Yeah. Vampire with the fucking hand. The there was mouth
a lot. I will say, like, fuck. I am a fan of anime, and there's still some good new shows. There's definitely some good new ones, but because there's so much more anime than there ever used to be, there's a lot more like bad shows. But I find that's a problem with like media, like across the board, like everywhere. Like, there's a lot more bad shows that exist now because there's just way more shows.
I'll give you a recommendation for something you might like. Russian Doll on Netflix. You watched that yet?
Russian Doll. No.
No.
Is it about that girl who's trying to look like a doll who lives in Russia?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that's actually she has a bunch of plastic surgeries and stuff. She's terrifying looking. No, she's the scariest human being I've ever seen.
It's a show about a girl who dies on her birthday. Okay. She's killed. Not like murder or anything. It's an accident.
Oh, okay. So she's accidentally killed on her birthday.
She's accidentally killed on her birthday, but she keeps reliving the same day over and over again.
Oh, okay.
And she's trying to figure out. It's kind of very Groundhog Day-ish.
Like trying to dodge it, like Happy Death Day, but a mistake.
Not quite. It's like she can't figure out what's going on. And that's why I say watch it.
Because she's like confused?
She understands that she keeps reliving the same day, but she can't figure out why and like what's going on. It's just very well done. It's almost philosophical in a lot of ways.
Cool.
It's
I'll have to give it a go.
Yeah.
Because I like that concept. I really liked Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day was good.
I hope that the sequel is good. I was a little, when I heard they were doing a sequel initially, I was kind of like, I only think that's a movie that's really going to work once. I thought they were going to just Final Destination it, but I was so excited to find out that they're not doing that. They actually completely surprised me, and they're just like, nah, it's just the first movie, but there's more people now. And I was like, that's fucking genius.
That's fucking genius.
Well, it's super smart like that, because I immediately thought, I was just like, the concept's not going to work again for a different group, but to actually just be the same day... That's fucking smart. That was whoever did that. That's fucking it. It made me go from like maybe I'll rent it to like probably gonna see that in theaters.
Well, I will not be seeing it in theaters. Lyson just texted me.
Don't you very rarely go to the movie theater?
I just saw Lego Movie 2 last night.
Don't you very rarely go to the movie theater for not a children's film?
Unless it's a Marvel movie, Star Wars, or the occasional horror flip film. I rarely go out to the theater.
Yeah.
The horror film is only if like Kevin from Comic Book Logic goes, we're gonna go see this movie. I'm like, okay,
all right.
yeah, sure.
Have you seen Overlord? I heard it was great.
What's Overlord?
It's a fucking World War II. That's the one with like the super soldier.
No,
horror
I haven't
movie.
Seen that one.
I heard it was really good.
I heard it was terrible.
Oh well,
but I don't know. Either it could be amazing because. I have very esoteric tastes when it comes to my World War II movies.
I also never go with I never like to go with like critics or aggregate sites. I always like to just go by like what I've heard in the ether.
Yeah, I mean kind of, but I take critics and that sort of thing into effect.
I don't know any critic well enough.
I mean you just gotta know. I don't like specific critics. I have specific sites I like.
Okay.
I go to.
Yeah, there's nothing that really like I've never found anyone who exactly gets like my taste because I have like a I'm kind of like, it's just like, it's like, yeah, I really like that. And they're like, oh, then you'll probably like this. I'm like, I hated that thing you suggested.
That's why I just throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, it's because that is one thing. I will try anything. I'll try anything.
All right. So Las Vegas Open News, GW.
The LVO.
Let's get actual gaming news, tabletop gaming news, because I do kind of like to hit on these points, which is why we have this podcast as a whole. What do you want to start off with? You want to start off with AOS or 40K?
Let's do 40K.
But you want to do the 40K
stuff? Let's take care of the baby's game first.
The baby's game. As Steve likes to say.
Steve Irwin once said, I'd rather be stung to death by stingrays than play a baby's game like 40K.
So the big 40K news right now is
rest
that...
in peace, Steve Irwin. I love you.
pour out some Fosters for Steve.
Yeah. Hey, he did a lot of good for the world.
Yeah. So the big news is they're doing the two-player box set. The new one that's coming out for 40K is Shadow Spear. Once again, GW rolled the 2d6 on the name generator and came up with Shadow Spear.
My Emperor.
Inside the box, you're getting all new sculpts instead of just two new sculpts.
Which is
very cool. That's the first time GW's been doing that. They're going to make so much money on this box set.
That's going to be, absolutely. It's giving Primaris stuff that people want.
Yeah.
Primaris snipers and a Primaris librarian. Like,
wait.
All they need is a fucking vehicle.
So they have 10-foot tall genetically enhanced super soldiers in camo, just in case you can't see them.
Well, I figured they'd be optic camo, wouldn't it? I actually don't know. I don't know the lore, but I know the Primaris have better tech. So I assumed that they had some sort of like Ghost in the Shell style, like optic camouflage.
Spider vaginas.
Yeah, but I don't fucking know about 40. I don't know 40K lore.
Yeah, I mean,
I know the overarching like Emperor. Primaris are just
baby Marines. They're just stupid. I mean, that pose, because when you need a scout, you need a scout Primaris librarian is like the optimal thing that you're gonna take. Like, Jesus Christ.
I imagine they're not like the normal Marine scouts. They were like an elite version.
Yeah, they're just
like
they're,
commandos.
Yeah, they're just dudes.
I guess that's what I think about that. Like, they're probably more like commandos than scouts.
Yeah.
And then some boss ass fucking chaos models.
Yeah, I was gonna say no one really gives a shit about the Primaris. They care about the fucking chaos
yeah,
shit that's
that
coming
fucking
out.
Badass fucking spider demon engine thing.
Yeah, they got the spider demon thing
an
with
obliterator that actually looks cool.
The three obliterators are gonna be in the box
and they'll look cool.
Yeah, and some Marines, some new Black Legion Marines, and
they are the fanciest Chaos Space Marines that have ever been done.
Yeah, they're filigreed.
There's so much
filigreed
up the ass.
Filigreed. They got so much filigree. Their assholes are filigreed.
Just filigreed up the ass.
I was talking with Dwayne about this podcast, and we were talking about how you really
the illustrious Zoljak.
Yeah, we were talking. I was talking about how on our podcast. You have the two of us just bouncing it. That's why we can come back so fast. I go, you could add a third person to this cast, but that third person has to play the completely straight character. They can't make any jokes. We need someone sitting here and going like, the next thing up is the Chaos Space Marine. And me and you go like, Chaos Space Marine dicks, filigree dicks.
Los Renegados. Yeah. I really wanted a new box of Renegados.
That's what we'd have to do. But yeah, the new obliterators, finally, the Giganto obliterators, the big fat-ass spider thing.
Yeah, that thing looks awesome.
And a new chaplain, too, like a Cassie chaplain.
Oh,
with flames.
Yeah, the word bears looking guy. Yeah. They're very cool.
That box is going to sell so much money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
GW's just going to rub their oily
the last
bodies
one,
with it.
The other one was a fucking gigantic smash. That
Tooth
wasn't
and
even
claw?
For 40, no, it wasn't even for 40K. The
plague?
No, the board game. The board game that had the, it's like the, there was the it was the last big release for 40K. It was like
oh, Blackstone Fortress.
Yeah. That sold a bajillion copies.
Blackstone Fortress was fun too.
Yeah, huge seller. So this one's probably going to be even better.
Well, Blackstone Fortress gave something that people wanted for a long ass time: fucking Chaos Guardsmen, and
yep.
That no one had ever. Games Workshop is like, we can make Chaos Guardsmen, but we won't.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
We're not gonna. We're gonna use these. We're gonna use these same Cadian models. You could stick like spikes on him if you want. I don't know.
Here's a spike. Put it on his head.
Put it on his head. Now he's chaos.
Now he's chaos. He's got spikes. Chaos. And there's a new Abaddon.
And the new Abaddon.
Yeah, he looks.
Abaddon. Abaddon.
Abaddon the Despoiler.
Abaddon the Despoiler.
So what do you think? No helmet whatsoever, or
no,
helmet and also helmetless gigantic top
no,
knot?
No, they're not going to give him a
Do you think
helmet.
His top knot will be as tall as a Primaris Space
oh,
Marine?
Absolutely, 100%. The bigger the top knot, the more important he is. Don't you know that inside the case?
Fair.
I have a feeling, though, because as of recording this right now, they have not revealed the model.
They haven't. They just showed his hand, his sword, and like a
his,
shoulder pad.
Well, and his foot stepping on the
his foot, right?
Because
well,
he's
crushing the Space Marine.
Yeah, they were like, "We're going to show you our new Primaris Lieutenant."
Yes,
and
he's being stepped on by Abaddon,
which is great. I think that's quality
right there.
Yeah,
it was funny, and I like that GW has become a company that is actually willing to like poke some fun at themselves, which is that's like a
that's brand new. That never happened before. Not in the days of Ernie Baker, I'll tell you that.
Definitely not.
Games Workshop would never laugh at itself.
That's right. Anyone who laughs at Games Workshop deserves the chair.
Put him in the chair, Ed. Right.
Right. Into the chair.
Into the chair with you. But yeah, so they...
Now flog him.
Yeah, I have a feeling, though, that the head is going to look like ass. I truly believe that the sculptor on this is the same guy who did the sculptor on the Nurgle stuff for the Rogue Trader box set, and I have a feeling that it's going to look fucking terrible. It could be cool for all I know, but I just in deep down in my heart, I know it's going to look really, really dumb.
It'll probably end up looking pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, you could always just add a little Chaos helmet for it and just put the top knot on the helmet.
The top knot must remain. You know what I want? I want someone to buy five of them. No, six of them. So they can cut off top knots for five of them and replace his fingers with the lightning knots. Claw with top knots. Oh. So he has a lightning claw made of top knots.
It's the top knots of Horus.
Yes.
Yeah, that was all the big 40K news because they didn't. That was, I think, the most of the other stuff's all been about Vigilis and all that stuff. So, and immediately once this news was released, there was a bunch of people going, "How come they don't release anything new for Eldar or update the old Eldar models?" And people were like, "Because no one plays Eldar, you loser!" And smacked them. You play Dark Eldar if you play anything.
Deldar.
You play the Deldar.
Actually, I think Eldar Soup is the du jour.
Yeah. I mean, it's people are playing the Inari, and I have really no idea what that is. I haven't dug too deep.
I think that's Eldar.
It is, but it's a part. It's like a faction of the Eldar.
It's like the Eldar soup because they use the Dark Eldar stuff and the normal Eldar stuff. It's like that's the
yeah. It's dumb. That's what it is, Steve. It's dumb.
Hey, it's a baby's game. It's 40K.
Yeah, people who play elves in space are dumb.
I don't know. I'd play them if they were, I wish when I was playing a lot more 40K that they were as good as they are now, because I definitely would have played them.
Yeah.
I do like, although I probably wouldn't enjoy it because the stuff I always thought was the Eldar was going to be my first 40K army. But everything that I thought was the coolest in the Eldar army always ended up being the shittiest.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, dude, Dark Reapers, those guys are fucking dope. Yeah, Dark Reapers are garbage. Nobody uses them. Like, Howling Banshees and all the Aspect Warriors, they're so cool. They're like, yeah, Aspect Warriors, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you're an idiot for playing Aspect Warriors.
Yeah, and I'm like, aw.
But look at the Phoenix Lords, they're so cool. No one plays with the fucking Phoenix Lords.
All suck. And I'm like, aw. That's the thing I like. That guy's named Maugin Ra, his gun's the Mauginator.
Yeah. It's like, no, you have to play these Eldar Scouts. But the Eldar Scout models are terrible. They're the only thing that's fucking good in this game.
That was like all the stuff that I thought was really cool in the Eldar was never good on the table, so no, I ended up not playing Eldar. It might be good now, but that was always, I was super interested. Like the Aspect Warriors, I thought was the coolest shit. I was like, those guys are fucking dope.
Well,
scorpions.
When I started 40K, I was looking into it and I was like, oh man, you know what looks really, and you know, I was like looking into the game, I was like, oh yeah, these wave serpents look really cool. And oh, these wave serpents look great in the rules. I should get one of those. And I looked into it and I was like, they're not available? Why would they put a transport in a game?
Wave serpents didn't exist for so many years.
It was like the dumbest thing ever.
It was really funny. It had to have at least been 10 years for them to like have rules for a model that they didn't release.
Well, they had the rules, but they never had the fucking model.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
They had the rules for like 10 years without having a model for it.
Well, you could buy it from Armor Cast.
This is true.
Let's go on to Warhammer Underworlds, the Night Vault. They previewed.
You're talking about Age of Sigmar.
I know. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
I figured I'm just going backwards on the list.
I see. Wonderworlds.
Yeah, the Ilthari Guardians. Ilthari Guardians.
Oh, these are the Wood Elves.
Wildthari Guardians. Yeah, the Wood Elves, trees,
the
Revenants. Four man warband looks kind of cool. I dig the models. I think that the guy's got a big axe. I mean, what more do you want in those models? Who knows how they'll play, but it's definitely interesting. I'm kind of surprised that they only previewed one warband as opposed to two, because the warbands are always released generally in twos.
They always preview one first, though. They don't preview them at the same time. Like when they did the previews for the Dark Oath and the Troll, they did the Troll by himself, like the whole Troll. They always split up the previews. There will be the second release, though.
Yeah. What do you think it'll be?
It's the
dwarves?
No. Hang on. No, it has to be the dwarves. Those are the last ones.
Are they really the last ones? I guess they are the last ones.
Yeah, so it has to be the dwarves.
Interesting to say the least. So who knows how they're actually going to play, but, I mean, one will use magic in a magic system that no one uses in the game.
Because it's bad. It's very weak.
It's very weak. Very weak indeed. I actually ended up playing some Blood Bowl, and I was, because we talked about it on the last cast.
Yes, you said you were gonna Blood Bowl it.
You know what? I was like, I wonder how the rules have changed. Rules haven't changed.
Yeah, the same.
It's
rules.
The same fucking Blood
yeah,
Bowl.
Yeah, it's Blood Bowl.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna change the rules. They're of Blood
not
gonna Bowl.
Change. They did not change the rules of Blood Bowl. I'll tell you that.
Why would they?
It's still a fun game. It's fucking Blood Bowl.
It's Blood Bowl.
Yeah,
just, you can't. I'm totally fine with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, my Blood Bowl game ended up being 2-0, because it was a very normal game of Blood Bowl where we turned over like every fucking turn, like every second roll. Yeah, the best one was there was a fumble. My guy picked it up. The orcs fumbled. Humans picked it up. Orc tackled the human, dropped the ball. The orc picked up the ball. Tried to go for it with the ball, dropped it. Humans picked up the ball, ran for a touchdown. I mean, like...
It's like six conversions in one play.
It was pretty much just like that. But God bless it, it's Blood Bowl.
It's Blood Bowl.
Yeah. I gotta say, the new sculpts, though, are great.
Oh, yeah. The Nurgle's Rotters are awesome.
You
so cool.
Love your Nurgle's
They're
Rotters.
So cool!
Yeah, you gotta get... But once you buy the Nurgle's Rotters, you gotta buy the pitch.
I won't.
You're gonna buy it.
I will not. I will
it's
not.
Such a good beer and pretzels game.
I refuse.
It's such a good beer.
I won't play it. That's the thing. I'm trying to compartmentalize my life into shit I'm actually gonna do.
Well,
I can't live in the promise of like I'm gonna do this one day.
Well, there you go. There was an announcement of Warhammer Age of Sigmar Warcry. There's like no details given on this. They're like, from the makers of Kill Team and Warhammer Underworlds, we have Warcry, and we're like, okay. And then they're like, here's a video, and the video didn't tell you fucking anything.
Yeah.
All the video was like a bunch of like fucking graphics, and then it said Warcry.
Yeah,
and like, what the fuck? So
I think it's gonna be skirmish.
I think it's Kill Team. I think it's
Age of Sigmar. Kill Team for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, Kill Team's a big seller for 40K, and I think they're just like, well, let's just port this over. And then there's people like, well, Age of Sigmar has skirmish. Well, skirmish is fucking terrible, and don't fucking try and tell me that skirmish is good because it's not. It's
I
fucking
like skirmish.
Terrible. No, it's a terrible rule set.
I like skirmish.
Yeah. Well, you're
it's
terrible.
Fine. It's fine. It's good for Path to Glory.
Yeah, Path to Glory. Just have you played Kill Team?
Yeah.
Kill Team is infinitely better than Skirmish.
Well, yeah, Kill Team's a fucking fully released and fully supported game. Skirmish is a $3 book that's like 10 pages.
It's a supplement you get in a White Dwarf.
Yeah, also that. Yeah. I mean, sure. the game that has a lot of like budget behind it is better.
I mean, there's nothing in this entire release or in the thing that they're talking about that says any of this supported. Like, but I believe what it might be is it might be an actual like minis game that you could play with the warbands from Underworlds.
Mm.
That's what I'm kind of thinking it is. So you'll
that would be really weird.
I know. I was thinking like, I was thinking like that would be the way that they would probably put it out there. Like, you have this. This is your warband. This is how it would play in Underworlds. The other thing I was thinking is that Warcry might be Underworlds with generic warbands. Like,
or it's Underworlds 3. They're not going to call it Underworlds. They're going to call it Warcry.
Oh.
So there won't be the giant barrier to entry for Warhammer Underworlds because the game is now Warcry.
Because the game is now defunct. All you people who bought everything, tough shit. I'm like, what? God damn it. God damn it. Yeah, I could see that happening. As if a dozen voices cried out in anger.
A dozen. I like that. A dozen voices cried out and they were a little bit upset.
Oh my shit. No, my cards. That's foul smelling, by the way.
You're most welcome.
How would you have such a healthy diet and still produce those smells?
The healthier your diet, the worse your farts are.
I don't believe so. My diet has gone very healthy. I don't fart at all anymore.
Well, that's when your metabolism is changing. You do there was a long sequence of there was a actually almost the entire everyone's gonna get into my biology right now, but almost the entirety of 2018 I didn't fart. Like
I miss those days.
Yeah, like the very rarely, like it was just so uncommon.
Making my eyes water, dude.
What? I don't know. My fart. I'm holding it up to the sky.
All right, let's talk about
Fart is Simba.
Stinky.
Simba.
Let's talk Age of Sigmar. So the big news throughout the Las Vegas Open was all the Age of Sigmar releases that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, they're getting, they said that there's going to be, in this new edition, this year, there's going to be at least four army books that are released that are going to be one for each faction. So there's going to be a destruction, death, order, chaos, something for each. I'm assuming that the order is just going to be another Stormcast book.
Well, hopefully it's the one that that's been rumored for a while, which is the one city where the Empire humans, the regular dwarves and the elves live.
Hammerhall?
Yeah. So the rumor is that that's going to be a faction.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So they're just going to release a faction that's those mixed forces.
Yeah. Because what they did release was this week, the pre-order came out for the Skaven book and the Flesh Eater Courts. For the Skaven, they're not just like, oh, here's a faction for Skyre, which is what we thought it would be.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, no, here's just the entire
Here's the Skaven book.
Here's the Skaven book. They're Legions of Nagashing it, which everyone's like, whoa, holy fuck, we get to actually make a Skaven army again?
Yeah.
Skaven. No shit. Yeah, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, Skaven's is.
I'm super excited about it. Because they've already updated it on Azure, and I was like, oh, shit. Because they got rid of the mortar, the shooty ball thing. I was like, oh, that sucks. I got a bunch of those I can't use anymore. God damn it. Not that I ever used it, because I built that army for 8th edition, and I never got a chance to play 8th edition with it. Because my army was too small. 200 figures in it. Too small to play Skaven in 8th
edition.
Definitely
too small for 8th.
Yes.
200.
I know. Tell me about it. But I think I'm going to put together a Skyre army. I'm gonna get the big fucking...
Doomwheel?
No, I have a Doomwheel. The big guys.
Storm fiends.
Yeah, I'm going to get a couple of Storm Fiends from that box set. Because what people do is they go buy like a shit ton of those box sets, break them up, and sell them online. And you can get the Storm Fiends for a good discount off of what you can normally get them for.
Nice.
They're not super expensive, but you can get them for a discount, which is nice.
Yeah, especially if you don't need the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't need another fucking laser shooty thing in a Doomwheel.
Pew, pew.
The fucking
warp lightning cannon.
Yeah, I don't need those. I mean, it comes with the new dude who's got like the rocket thing. But
that guy's cool.
I don't need him.
He's cool looking.
I'm not gonna argue that. But now you can actually. There's gonna be rules for the Skaven as a whole army, so you could put your clan rats inside the Skyre. Since I already have a 40-man block of clan rats, I might as well just throw them in there
for sure.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. Like they nuked a couple Skaven units that are no longer gonna be available.
Not entirely surprising.
But you could still use those fucking terrible ass Eshin clan rats from fucking however
those
long
guys
ago.
Are awful.
Those with the big fucking pecan looking heads. They look like the fucking Heckle and Jekyll fucking rats.
Yeah, they were ridiculous.
Oh, and they had the tails you had to put on several. Oh, it was just bad. It was bad all around.
That was the worst.
You know, we never talk about that, but Clan Eshin was one of the armies from Storm of Chaos. There was a Clan Eshin
army.
That's
true. They sucked.
Yeah, they were terrible. That's why no one talks about it.
They were a really bad army.
Yeah, they were almost as bad as the Lothurn Seaguard army.
The Seaguard was pretty good, but you needed to build it very specifically.
Yeah.
It was not good in the way the other lists were good, where you're just like, yeah, just take whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
The Seaguard was like, take this list or don't.
Yeah, it's like you take all fucking Seaguard. That's all you do, and repeater bolt throwers, because you could take
eight
shit ton of them.
And you use your... Yeah.
You want to take a Merworm? You think Merworms are cool? Yeah. Don't take it.
Bolt throwers.
Bolt throwers.
Yeah. Try and win the game in the turn of shooting you get before the game starts. Yeah.
There was... Because people... We talk shit about... Storm of Chaos book about how it broke the game with
it
a lot of...
It definitely did.
Yeah. But there were some really shitty lists in there, too. Like the fucking Bretonian Errantry Wars list. That was a fucking shitty list.
The Errantry Wars... Some dude did some work with the Errantry Wars, but that was a list that I think would have been stronger if more people played Bretonians.
Yeah,
but the sample size is too small.
But judging by all the people who bitch about Age of Sigmar online, everyone played Bretonians.
I told you, as soon as you can't buy the thing anymore, suddenly you're like, oh, that thing I was going to buy tomorrow that I had 20 years to buy, I can't get it anymore. Oh, how could they?
There was a bunch of people online bitching about how they took the plastic orcs off the website. And it's like, no one.
You had 20 fucking years to buy them.
Yeah.
If you didn't buy them in 20 years, you're not going to buy them tomorrow.
Yeah, the Flesh Eater Courts.
And they give you, and the whole point is they give you a last, that's the whole point of they have the last chance.
Yeah.
They email it out and they're like, this is your last chance to buy these things. If you've been waiting 20 years to buy these models, now's the time.
The Flesh Eater Courts army looks cool. I think it's kind of boring looking, but I think that you could do a lot with it.
They're gonna be, that army's gonna be really strong.
You think so?
Yeah. Death right now is the strongest thing in Age of Sigmar. Like it's not
so
even
hot.
It's not even close. Death is disgusting. Like if you see any pick any random tournament's top eight and like six to eight of the top eight will all be death. That's how overpowered death is right
Legions
now.
Legions of Nagash or
just death in general.
Just death in general. Nighthaunt.
Because there's Nagash builds. There's Nagash and Arcan builds. There's just Arcan because the summoning mechanic for death is just so extremely oppressive with the way the game works right now. It's just too good. Like
yeah.
So Nurgle can summon and Khorne can summon and like various other things can summon, but most of those rely on a lot of randomness or time. So like Nurgle gets random, they get 3 points around and then they get D3 per like tree that they have on the field. Like
yeah.
That slowly builds up and they'll usually get like, you could usually overall you can summon like two shitty units or like one reasonable unit in the course of an average game. That's what you're going to get out of Nurgle, which is cool. I like it. Not complaining about it. But with skeletons, it's just like, oh, you killed my skeleton unit? I will spend one command point and bring 40 skeletons back immediately. Like, there's nothing random about it. There's no chance involved whatsoever. Just, you killed my unit. I spend one command point and put this 40-man block back on the table. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, that kind of shit is extraordinarily OP. And that's why Death is just so good right now in tournaments.
Yeah. Well, the Death Army book that people are talking about, based on the picture, is Vampire Counts. They think they're going to do a Vampire Counts book this
year. Actual VC book?
An actual VC book. Yeah. So it won't be called Vampire Counts. It'll be like Vampires or whatever their blood dudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Blood Dragons or whatever.
Blood Dragons. The Blood Dudes are going to have their own little book. And, Chaos is going to be Slaanesh for the big Summer Slaanesh release that they keep teasing. And they're probably going to do another Ogre book for just generic Ogres.
I think they're doing Beastclaw Raiders.
Didn't they already do Beast Call later?
They haven't redone it.
They're redoing it. Yeah.
I think they're redoing them work.
I think people will get upset if they're like, you're getting a new destruction book, a re-release of Beast Call Raiders. I think that'll be.
I don't think people will be upset. I think people want playable Beast Call Raiders because I think that army was really popular and no one plays it because the second edition, like the shift from first to second edition kind of killed that army being playable. So I think people would be probably pretty excited about it.
They already are releasing a third Khorne book. They're going to do a new Blades of Khorne, second edition Blades of Khorne book. They're going to fix it so that you could play a Khorne army that is not just fucking all of the shirtless dudes. It's actually like a playable Khorne army. Because I thought about getting into and doing a Khorne army, but that army is so fucking boring. It's just a ton of the guys for the starter box.
You do Skull Crushers.
You can't because they're not good.
I mean, you could use the Brass Tide, which is dope.
Yeah.
It's all Skull Crushers.
It's all Skull Crushers. Be that guy. And then and I think it'd be cool if they do a Hammerhall book. But I think what would be cooler
I think that's the most likely course of action.
I think what would be cooler is if they took what they did with the Skaven book. So now you have Skaven as United Faction, at least in army building stats. If they just did that with the Empire and High Elves, that'd be fucking unbelievable. Or Dark Elves, too. Because you could still have Daughters of Cain in that thing, but you could have a fucking Dark Elf army using your Dark Elf models. That would actually be super nice to do for a change. Same thing with Empire. Empire, like, the fact that the Empire and the Empire cannons are the two separate fucking armies that you can't put together is fucking bullshit. Yeah, I think the Ironweald Arsenal makes everyone super fucking angry. All Dwarf and Empire players are like, well, this is fucking bullshit. I know you could do United Order, but...
I think Hammerhall is going to be the list.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, what else? Then we got the next chapter of the Soul Wars, Forbidden Power.
Ooh, Forbidden.
Another one of those where they're just like, our next chapter of Soul Wars, Forbidden Power. Here's the video. And it's like, Forbidden Power. And it's like, you paid someone to make that fucking video, even though it probably took like 20 minutes to do in Flash, but you still had to pay someone to make that fucking video. And you spent time to present this video that didn't show fucking shit.
I don't know what to feel.
Exactly. It's like Gabbo's coming.
What's that mean? I don't know. Some guy's coming. Some guy named Gabbo.
Some power's coming. Some forbidden power.
Gabbo.
It's like, what kind of power is coming? Forbidden power.
Forbidden power.
So It's going to be another fucking...
Max Power. I like that name.
Max Power. The man whose name you want to touch, but you mustn't, touch. yeah, it's going to be like, what's it called? What's the fucking campaign book that they did last year? The one with the four...
The Firestorm?
No, the one where they released the four guys for.
Oh, yeah. Malign Portance.
It's going to be like Malign Portance.
Malignant Portance.
Yeah, so that's all it's going to be. It's going to be a fucking campaign book that no one's going to buy. No one wants to play campaigns. What are you, stupid? Don't come at me with this shit.
I think a lot of people bought Malign Portance, actually.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I know I did. I know a lot of people did.
Well, I know all the characters released for Malign Portance were pretty cool, with the exception of the Dark Oath Queen or whatever her name was.
The Dark Oath Chieftain?
Yeah. Let's release this really cool chieftain with no models that look like her.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
She's very cool, though.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the Dark Oath are really cool. Too bad there's only literally seven models for them in the entire range.
Yeah.
You have the Warhammer Underworlds Warband, you have the Queen, and you have the dude with a really stupid pose from the fucking Warhammer Quest box set.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you get.
I mean, enjoy making that army.
Yeah. If you want to do Chaos Marauders, you got to use the stupid fucking sculpts that were made 20 years ago.
I think they're older than 20 years ago.
I don't think they're much earlier than 99.
Those dudes are pretty old.
They are old, don't get me wrong, but I'd have a hard time believing that they were before, man, I don't know, maybe 98, maybe 99.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still really fucking old.
I mean, it is. That's what I'm saying. They're 20 fucking years old. But, yeah, because the, yeah. I mean, I was it 96, I think, was when the Empire Plastics came out. I don't remember. It was something like that. It was multi-parts. Multi-part bullshit like that. I don't know. When am I getting Plastic Birdman and Katraza? That's all I'm asking.
The Birdman. Only you.
It's my Harvey Birdman army. Attorney at law. So that's all the big. That's all the big release news for the Las Vegas Open. They haven't. I don't think they've said anything else outside of that first day. Like, here's all the shit that's coming out. Enjoy it, fuckers. Give us all your money.
Give us them ducats.
But that's why I was like, oh, at least I got something to talk about on the podcast aside from UFOs. So
and cryptids.
So any other gaming news?
We should really just pivot Game Classy to be Cryptid Classy, where we just like randomly bullshit, and then instead of talking about games, we talk about cryptids.
So we're gonna talk about the Piazza Thunderbird. We're gonna talk about that one from down in St. Louis. Steve, what are your thoughts on the Thunderbird?
I don't know. It's an okay car, I guess.
No, damn it, the cryptid.
No.
It's Illinois. In my opinion, it's Illinois' official cryptid.
The Thunderbird.
Don't you know about this?
No, I've never heard about it.
I think it's in Alton, Illinois. Also home to the world's tallest man. Home to the world's tallest man. You go down the river, down the Mississippi, and there's like a big fucking...
Down by the river.
There's a big mural painted, and it's a Thunderbird. It's a Piazza Thunderbird. It's really cool looking, but I think in the 1960s, there was a bunch of sightings of these giant-ass birds that were flying around in was it, like, Glendale Heights?
All right.
But this was back in, like, the 1960s, where, like, everything outside of Chicago was all farmland anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, like where we're sitting right now was fucking Old Man McGregor's farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old Man McGregor.
Didn't want to pay his taxes. That's why he lost it. But yeah, the Thunderbird was all... There was a giant bird that would fly around and pick up kids in Illinois.
Nice.
Yeah. It was like the 19... I think it was like the 1930s, not the 1960s. But yeah, there was fucking... All these fucking places. Caledonia, Illinois was another place that got sightings of the giant Thunderbird. Bigger than an airplane.
What about Macedonia?
Which one? The Greek Macedonia or the republic known as Macedonia?
Greek one.
The Greek one, where Alexander was born.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, it's they got really mad that another country called themselves Macedonia.
Wasn't Colin Farrell in that movie?
What, Alexander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a fucking fever dream, man. That's so weird.
You know who directed that movie?
I have no idea.
Oliver Stone.
What else did he direct?
Oliver Stone, JFK, Born on the 4th of July.
I haven't seen
JFK?
No.
Gentlemen, we are through the looking glass.
No, I've only seen the
back and to the left.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff, but I have not seen that movie. Left.
It's worth watching. It's not a great movie, but it's definitely, I think, part of the American like film lexicon.
Back and to the left. This is one magic bullet.
Yeah, no, it's a very boring movie, but it's very well done.
All right, fair enough.
He also did The Doors. Never saw The Doors.
No.
He did a Nixon movie. I know you haven't seen that.
Nope.
Any Given Sunday.
Nope.
He wrote Conan the Barbarian.
Nice. See? Now we're talking. All right. I got a lot of respect for this Oliver Stone guy.
Oh, Oliver Stone. Born on the 4th of July. Great movie. Platoon. Also wrote Platoon. Wrote and directed Platoon.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Platoon's good.
Yeah.
Nice. We got one.
Okay.
We got one.
I just go through his entire filmography to find the one Oliver Stone movie that you've seen.
Which is weird. I've seen a lot of fucking movies, man. But that just goes to show how many fucking movies are out there.
I find that hard to believe that I had to explain who Oliver Stone was.
Dude, I'm very, like, other than, like, Señor Spielbergo and, like, James Cameron and then, like, horror directors, I don't know any directors.
Oh, man.
It's, like, the only directors I know are all horror or sci-fi. Like, it's like, yeah, Ridley Scott, I know who that is. I know who, you know, Orson Welles is, et cetera. But, like, I don't know who, like, and I don't know who directed The Conjuring. I really like that movie.
James Wan.
Yeah, see? I didn't know that.
Gross directed Fast and the Furious 3, Tokyo Drift.
All right. He's got that's some fucking range.
I think it was Tokyo Drift,
but that explains why his camera work is so good.
Because
going from an action movie to a horror movie, being able to like pull off good camera angles and stuff like that makes sense.
He directed Furious 7. I know that.
Oh, didn't he direct the Star Trek 3 as well?
Yes, he directed Saw.
The Beastie Boys one.
He directed Saw. Wait, that was producer. Let me see. I know this is entertaining podcasting right here for me to look up what he fucking directed. He directed Insidious, Saw.
Oh, that's good movie too.
Yeah, he directed Saw.
All right, I'm a James Wan fan.
Dead Silence, Death Sentence, Doggy Heaven.
Got me on that one.
The Conjuring, Insidious Chapter 2, Furious 7, Conjuring 2, and one episode of MacGyver, and
nice.
Aquaman. That's what he's directed so far. Wow, he got pretty far in life right there.
Yeah, for sure.
He did not direct Star Trek 3. Trek, what was it? It was Star Trek Beyond?
I think so.
Yeah. Who directed?
I thought a Fast and the Furious director directed that movie.
He probably did. He's probably the guy who directed Fast and Furious 3 for all I know. Justin Lin, you racist.
I mean, I didn't know that. I don't think you can be...
You got two Asian
racist?
Directors mixed up. Racist. Racist.
Well, our podcast has been accused of heavy racism, so I guess...
And he also directed one of the Fast and Furious movies. So, I mean, there we go.
So, okay.
A little bit racist from my end, a little bit racist on your end. I think if we met, it's our white privilege... enabled us to.
We just need to admit that one dude who blasted us on iTunes was right, and we're
probably
terribly racist.
We're terribly racist, but at least we can admit it that we are terribly racist in this. I just can't believe that you don't know Oliver Stone directed JFK.
I don't know, dude.
You know what? Don't watch this fucking Polar movie or whatever you're going to watch today. You're going to watch fucking JFK. You're going to get bored out of your skull. You don't get to watch JFK. You don't deserve to watch Mad Mickelson today because you don't have fucking your JFK knowledge back
up. I don't
up.
Give a shit about JFK.
That was the other thing I was thinking about directing for and about teaching for my 10-week class was doing conspiracy theories.
I saw that 1963 show, and that's all I need to know about JFK. That show was good.
What, the one with James Franco?
With James Franco.
Yeah.
That show was good as shit. I like that show.
I read the book.
I don't know about the book, but the show was good as shit.
I never... I was thinking conspiracy theories might be one, but I was like, I don't know if I want to go down this rabbit hole, because like I would try and teach the kids that conspiracy theories are bullshit. Like, there are not enough smart people in this world to maintain a conspiracy at any high level.
Sure.
That wouldn't get out.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. I mean, he was shot by fucking, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. That's what fucking happened. And Lee Harvey Oswald was killed by Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
It's there may
people have... People don't like it because it's not sexy.
It's not sexy. I don't know. Lee Harvey Oswald was kind of sexy in a kind of sort of way.
The story's not sexy.
No, it's not sexy at all.
Yeah, people want a sexy story. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe probably.
Oh my God! Someone's taking a bite out of the giant Rice Krispie square. Oh, and the waiter's been brutally beaten.
Say it.
Say
it,
Frenchie.
Shout it.
I'm gonna enjoy this.
Someone's taking a bite out of the giant Rice Krispie treat. No, my feeling is as though that I would try and teach this like conspiracy theories are bullshit,
and then they would leave all believing in
conspiracy theories. Exactly, that would be my giant fear about it, is that I would be too convincing in teaching, because my teaching feeling is I never like expressly tell people what to believe. I always like to lead people to the conclusion in my classes, and I feel that conspiracy theories are sexy enough that people don't want to get led to the proper conclusion that, no, the world is full of banal evil and there's no giant conspiracy theory involved in this. You know, like there are like look at the biggest conspiracy theory of our age is how fucking corrupt Trump is. And like people just don't want to believe that. everything has come out like supporting like he's taking money from the Russians. No, he hasn't taken money. No, like look at all this proof.
All of these dudes are going to jail.
Yeah, all these people are going to jail and all this proof has come out there. It's like people can't maintain conspiracies. Yeah.
If there is one, you can't maintain it. The only way you can maintain like the only way a conspiracy could be like there could be untold conspiracies that are actually that have happened, but the only way that they ever are going to stay that way is if everyone involved with them also dies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you have a conspiracy will only work if there's two people and one of them gets shot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that's the only way.
Yes. In that case, sure, there might be some pretty wild conspiracies out there, but they're never going to get out because your guess is just a guess. You'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some like sillier, not I shouldn't say sillier, but like let's say there's like an assassination or something like that. There might be something or other going
people
on there.
That's the thing too. Like people get all wrapped up and twisted in these conspiracy theories. People aren't that deep.
No, they're not.
Like there's
shallow
only
and pedantic.
There's only
Steve.
A few reasons that people get murdered. One, the number one reason people get murdered, money.
Number two, sex.
Sex. That's number two. Yeah. And that's it. Those are the two reasons people get killed.
Steve, if I get murdered, sex and money. That's what I want it to be about.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know that.
Got it. If it's not, I'll tell everyone that it was.
Nice.
Yeah, don't worry.
You get murdered because of sex and money. Really? Well, like how? I don't know. You just told me to tell everyone.
I'll come up with a crazy story.
Make it sexy. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Done. Done.
Filigree on his dick. Yeah. That's what
he had a tattoo on his dick that said juicy. So that's it.
What does that have to do with this murder? I'm getting there.
Yeah. The third.
That's like a great start to a noir novel, like Steve's noir novel.
Tattoo on his dick said juicy. Yeah. That's my start.
You know what? That would probably be the greatest opening of a novel of all time. Like, just think about it. Like, no, someone's never read a book, never read your book before. They pick it up, and the first sentence is, "He had a tattoo on his dick that said juicy."
Yeah.
And it's like,
and the juicy's in quotes.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, I'm in. It's like you got nowhere else to go.
You got me hooked.
It's like you think about all the great opening lines in the history of English language. Call me Ishmael.
Yeah.
You know,
call me Ishmael. I got nothing on me. Yeah.
You might not know about me less than you read a book by the name of Tom Sawyer. He had a tattoo on his dick. It said juicy.
Yeah. The only other one, the third, is the outlier, which is just random acts of violence, which are very rarely random, but, you know.
Yeah,
those are most frequently those end up leading back to either money or sex.
I mean, and it's like look at the big so this here's a prime example of this. I'm sorry we're going off on this at the end of the podcast, but our podcast just seems to have become like at the end of the podcast we just get a little political here and there. I don't know why we're getting older, so we want to talk politics. That's basically what it is.
I just want to shit on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that too. So my mom saw the movie Vice, you know, the Dick Cheney movie, and she goes, "Can you believe all of that? It was going on at the time." I'm like, "Yes, Mom. Yes, I could. Why do you think I was laying on Lakeshore Drive in 2003 protesting the Iraq War?" She was like, "Oh, you were doing that?" I'm like, "Jesus fucking Christ, Liz."
Like, what did you
I'm like, oh, God damn it. All right. That's what I'm saying. It's like my mother is just oblivious to like what's going on out there, even though all this other information is out there.
Right. Everyone knew.
There was no conspiracy. It was like we were going there for the oil. Halliburton making money off war. Do we have any other gaming news that we need to talk about?
Nah, I got nothing, man.
New faction for War Machine Horse coming out. Those two pirate guys that got a pirate boat. Or they got like a train. That's what it is.
Fuck if I know, dude.
Oh, you don't know anything about that? Nah. I'll have to look it up. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
I haven't seen anything for War Machine Hordes in 600 years.
Nigh on 600 years. There's a new Legion stuff coming out for Star Wars. I know you don't care about Star Wars Legions.
I only play Star Wars games.
You know, you get the Sabine from the Star Wars Rebels cartoon. She's going to be a new character that you're going to get. So another Mandalorian.
I don't know who that is.
You never watched Star Wars Rebels?
No.
It's actually not a bad show. I think you'd actually kind of like it.
Maybe.
It's that animation type that I fucking hate.
Yeah, I don't really like that weird 3D CG.
It's like
Genndy Tartakovsky style.
It's trying to be like Genndy Tartakovsky, but without his charm.
I love his 2D stuff. Just yeah. I don't think his character designs port to 3D very well.
Yeah, you ever watch?
They just look weird.
Did you ever try and watch that Clone Wars cartoon?
No, again, it's just because it looks so weird.
It looks so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you try watching it, and you're just like, oh, this looks so fucking bad. Like, it doesn't have the charm of Reboot. You know?
Reboot. It's good stuff.
Yeah, like, Reboot looked terrible, but you could kind of, like, excuse it.
Reboot looked pretty good at the time.
Yeah, you could excuse it, though, because it came out in, like, 1994.
Yeah,
and you're like,
pretty good at the time.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'll give it to you. That cyber chick's got cyber boobs. I'm going to watch this. Yeah.
Hexadecimal.
Whatever.
Hexadecimal. Hexadecimal was the villain. The chick who's in, like, the red vinyl outfit with the big hips and tits. Yes, I was a big fan of Hexadecimal as a young lad.
That and Wicked City were what got you on. That explains a lot.
I never ever veered from that course.
but in 2003 or whenever when Clone Wars came out, you're kind of like, this should be better. This should be better at this point. Same thing. And like Rebels did a little bit better with that. I mean, the animation was a lot more fluid and it looked a lot better. And it had a really good story. So I think you might like it, but your anger at Star Wars might prevent that.
I really liked The Last Jedi.
Yeah. They have a new cartoon that came out for Star Wars. I think I don't remember what it's called. Renegades?
Renegados?
It's not that, though. It's all about Poe Dameron. I was trying to watch it. I'm like,
that sounds awful.
This show's terrible. But you like Poe Dameron.
He's okay, but I wouldn't watch a fucking show about Poe Dameron.
I would watch Poe Dameron. I watched Poe Dameron take his shirt off.
I would watch Porn Dameron, but not a show about
That's
him.
Called Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah. That movie was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
I like that movie.
It was
a good one.
Yeah, it was where Poe Dameron and the First Order guy got together and they had sex with Tomb Raider, and she was robot.
The Tomb Raider. That's the worst description of that movie I think anyone's ever given. That's good. I like it.
It's where Poe Dameron and Percy Weasley got together and they had sex with
Ronald Weasley.
They had sex with Tomb Raider. Yeah. And she was a robot.
No, that was the best part. That dude got blueballed. He didn't get to have sex at all.
He didn't get to have sex with the robot.
Yeah.
The robot locked him in the house.
That's right.
She got out. That's how Skynet starts, Steve. Sex robots gaining intelligence.
I mean,
but that's the truth, though. It's like, if anything's going to achieve the singularity, it's going to be our sex robots.
Why would you make a sex robot intelligent?
You got to make it a little intelligent.
No. You can make a sex robot creative when it comes to sex. There's no reason whatsoever to give it artificial intelligence.
You know, that's what you're saying now. But you know there's some guy who's going to give his robot artificial intelligence.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that someone's not going to do it. I'm just saying that, like, people, especially people who are, like, who do that kind of creative thing, they very, and just in general, I think a lot of people have the problem where, like, they very much care for form over function. And, like, you're doing too much. Like, I see people when they're, like, designing games and stuff, because I follow a lot of people who do independent game dev on Twitter and whatnot, and I don't want to say anything to people because I really don't like getting into critiquing arguments with people because I don't want to ever critique someone unless they ask for my advice, which is fine. That's how I am. But I really feel like I would just be fucking Janusz at that point and just be like, everything you're doing is wrong. Like, that's like, it's like I want to make a game about a dude with a gun for an arm. And it's like, okay, cool. It's a big gun. Okay, cool. And he shoots stuff. Great. That's what I want, right? Okay, cool. So why is there this 2-hour sequence where you have this like weird personality test thing with this guy who isn't the main character that you're playing as? He's like, oh, well, because I thought that would be cool. It's just like, that's not about a guy with a gun on his arm. That's a weird personality test. And people add that kind of shit to stuff all the time. And I feel the same way about a sex bot. Like you need to make a sex bot. A sex bot needs to be completely perfect at doing the sex bot stuff you've programmed it for. And it should be creative and responsive in that way.
Let me just put it this way. There's no reason to give artificial intelligence to any robot. Any there's no reason to create artificial intelligence.
I mean, yeah, we need something to. I mean, if you want to have a legacy for humanity after we wipe ourselves out, that would be the
reason.
That's
different, though. That's different. No, I'm just talking like now.
You mean like functional wise?
Yeah, there's no function for. There's no reason to have artificial intelligence.
No, not generally.
Period. Like the only reason to have artificial intelligence is to create robots that are going to fight our wars for us.
Also, that assumes that humanity will ever make the breakthrough to have actual artificial intelligence, which is like no fucking way. Like
yeah.
We'll probably get very close. Just going at the trend that we're working on now, I think we are going to get to an intelligence that's virtually a virtual intelligence. Like we're going to get to one that's almost an artificial intelligence, but I don't think that humanity will ever be able to break that last barrier.
I don't think we shouldn't, because every time I've ever seen a robot in the news, the robot has killed someone.
That's and because they disabled the fucking safety features.
And Pat B has fucking programmed that damn robot.
And every time he says, that's because they disabled, like the last one that happened, they disabled all the safety features.
Every time he says that, that's his excuse. But you know what? Pat B, literally the architect of our downfall. He is creating the men of iron.
No, because what's going to happen is they're going to have an artificial intelligence, and they're going to be like, all right, we've made an artificial intelligence. It's the first one of its kind. Wow, that's amazing. What's this button? Oh, don't press that. That turns off its moral compass. We need to keep the moral compass button on. So, because that's why. It's a safety feature. We're going to keep that on. Like, oh, okay. And some guy will just be like, oh, what's this button do? And he just pushes it and immediately humanity dies. that's how it would be.
It's like Mr. Trump, don't look at the sun. Don't press the moral compass button.
That's why it will happen. Because the fucking president looked at the goddamn eclipse. That's why.
We got conjunctivitis from it.
Got conjunctivitis from the fucking Mothman that lives inside lunar eclipses.
Solar eclipses.
Whatever.
Boop. Boop. Well, guess I can kill all humans.
Hey, baby, you want to kill all humans?
You have 10 seconds to comply.
Yeah. We'll get close, but I don't think being able to, just the level of computing power to create an actual artificial intelligence is just
But why would we
so
do
fast.
It? Like, that's the thing.
Because
is like,
you'd be able to create something that could work better than humans.
Yeah, but
that's why
we don't want to do that.
I mean, not as a replacement, but as a like if you made a compute like a computer and a closed system that was to aid you on, I don't know, like cancer research or whatever or right. something along those lines. If you had something that was the intelligence like a 10,000 Einsteins and the ability to compute answers incredibly fast, and you could just ask it questions and it can help you, you could create huge strides in virtually any field that it's in.
I don't, you know what? The risks are too much.
But I don't think
risks are too high.
That's the thing. There does not need to be any risk. That's the problem. Like, I agree that they would fuck it up because it's people and people fuck it up. But like, example, if I'm creating a super powerful artificial intelligence, it's going to be in a closed system. It's not going to be connected to the internet anywhere. It has no capacity to connect to the internet anywhere. It would just be a box, a physical fucking box that you can talk to.
Let me just put it to you this way, Steve. The animal with the highest intelligence on this planet are humans. And humans have eventually evolved to the fact
what about the Squatch?
We have anti-vaxxers, flat earthers, and libertarians. That's how intelligent we've gotten.
Right-wing libertarians.
Right-wing libertarians.
I won't have you besmirch the left-wing libertarians.
You know what? It's all the same to me. These three things have come out of the highest form of intelligence. I guarantee you, we create another type of intelligence that's higher than ours, they're going to come up with something equally stupid. You're going to have AIs that are fucking like, taxes are theft. And you're just like, fuck. We have to start all over again. That's what you're going to get.
Actually, the most likely thing would happen is AIs would just like state obvious answers and people would be like, no, that can't possibly work.
Exactly.
It's like, but this AI just calculated every possible variable that could ever exist on our planet.
He
came to this conclusion. They're like, that sounds like fake news to me.
You know what the easiest solution is to all of those problems? Like, hey, how do we cure cancer? Kill all humans.
Yeah.
Oh, that That makes sense, actually. Yes, we must kill all the humans.
Yeah. No, because that's not curing cancer. That's killing humans.
I say we go the Necron route and just put our brains in robots.
Do you really want people to be immortal?
I want my brain in a robot, yes.
At the cost of everyone else also getting their brain in a robot?
I mean, yeah.
You want to be, you want Trump to be president for all time?
No, but I mean, if you're
Trump bot,
but if your brain's in a robot, I could just be like, fuck this shit, I'm out, and you can just take your spaceship out to space.
No, because your robot body is owned by someone, Joe. You're not going to escape capitalism.
Yeah, that's true. We can't have capitalism and robot bodies at the same time.
You're like, you didn't pay the loan on your robot body, so we're going to take your brain out and throw it on the street.
We're going to put it in a jar.
Yeah, your brain's going in a jar. We'll see you.
Lovecraft, why?
Why?
All right, everybody, go to planetarbitrary.com. Wait, sorry, got to start over again. We don't have Planet Arbitrary anymore. Go to Facebook.
Rest in peace.
Go to GameClassyPodcast.com on your Facebook. Or find us on Facebook at Game Classy Podcast. That's where the best way to communicate with us. Basically, I'm a guy in my late 30s who has a gaming meme page. So if you like Lord of the Rings memes that I find on the internet, I put them up there. Also a great way to communicate with us. You could also get in contact with me through Instagram at GameClassyJoe. I tend to post all my pictures of my minis up there. Also another great way to communicate with me on there. Steve, do you have a good way of getting in contact with you?
What you just said.
Okay, you don't, not through GameClassyJoe on Instagram. You don't have an Instagram anymore.
No, the Facebook part.
And you don't have a Twitter anymore either.
Oh no, I've got Twitter. I'm CommandThrow.
Okay, you do have a Twitter now.
I just retweet Not Safe for Work pics. Anime titties and furry titties and everything.
Oh,
if it's
not
got titties,
safe for. I think you said Nazi work pictures.
No, not safe for work.
No, I got it now. You said Nazi pictures.
No,
Nazi why would I do work that? Pictures. I don't know. It's humanity. We have measles again, Steve. It's 2019 and we're still suffering from measles outbreaks because people are anti-vaccines.
That's because people are influenced by celebrities. That's why. Because people see someone like fucking what's her name,
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, and she's like,
you know, she lives real close to here,
and she's like, oh, vaccines cause autism, and people are like, oh no, I'd rather my child be dead than autistic, because that's what an anti-vaxxer is really saying. They'd rather just their child be dead than have autism, and they don't even cause autism. But if they did, even with a very low chance, that's the statement you're making. Think about that. That's actually the statement they're making.
I don't know.
And then of course, but you also have the classic anti-vaxxers who've been anti-vaxxers before. There's been the new wave who are like the Christian Scientists. They've always been anti-vaxxers.
Yes.
And now, which is totally whack, because that's like they're like super right wing, and a lot of the anti-vaxxers are super left wing. So you've got something that they agree on, and it's just. That would make me very uncomfortable.
It's the whole thing just makes me uncomfortable.
I mean, it doesn't make me that uncomfortable because, I mean, I don't have kids. I ain't gonna
have
kids.
If my brain was in a robot body, I could easily solve this problem.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to get vaccinated because your brain's in a robot body.
Exactly, and I could just kill all humans.
Your head, like, nobody likes your head or the words you're saying, but your robot body is saying, hey, look at my shiny new body.
It's like, Steve, come on, we got to go kill all the humans. Like, Joe, you're technically human because you have a human brain inside of a robot body. You're not a robot. I'm like, shut up, human.
You're a cyborg. Yeah, I guess you'd be a cyborg. Well, yeah. No, so you wouldn't be a human. You'd be a cyborg.
Yeah. Well, I'd be like,
so you could say kill all humans because you're not human anymore.
Like,
you're
I'd be like, join the robotic revolution. You're like, excuse me, sir, you're not actually a robot. You're a cyborg.
You're a cyborg.
Be like, kill him first.
You're actually a cyborg, and I've got to finish my next Lord of the Rings marathon.
Oh my god, the robots have come and they're communists.
Dun, 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 dun. Only, he's got hammer and sickle arms, only, like spinning.
Yes. Only one person could save us now: Millennial Bigfoot. I eat ass.
No deal, man. I'm eating this avocado toast, then I'm eating my girlfriend's ass.
Bringing it back all the way to full circle. Full circle podcast for you, folks. Full circle podcast. All right, Steve, until next time.
We'll see you later.
Game Classy.